Today's gospel is from chapter 15 of John, beginning with verse 1. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." The Gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Have a seat, please. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So good to see you here today and see some folks who are come back from being away for a while. It's just so great to see all your faces here. And also, again, welcome those who are watching online. The three passages that were read have one thing in common, maybe more than one thing. But actually, the word that they have in common is the word that best describes God. And that word is love. Love is the key word here. Acts 8 shows us love that works beyond cultural, ethnic barriers, a love that shares the gospel with an Ethiopian as Philip is obedient to love the people he comes in contact with. It reminds me of what Martin Luther said about evangelism or outreach. It's really one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. And that is what we saw today in this gospel as this eunuch is baptized and the gospel is shared with him. 1 John 4 is a passage that's often read at weddings. It's actually read at my wedding about love. And it's not just to the brother, it's to brothers and sisters, it's to people, right? And God, it says, is the source of all love. And because he loves us, that's how and why we can love others. Love for God enables that love for the brother or sister. And when you experience love of another person, you get kind of a small taste of what God's love is for you. We love because he first loved us, is what 1 John says. And then finally in John 15, where I want to spend my time today, we see that Jesus shows us a love that abides, that stays right with us. Which also is kind of like you've heard the term tough love. There's some of that in this passage too. A tough love that confronts and also prunes delicately. Abiding in Christ is the way we enjoy the abundant life. Love is found in a relationship with Jesus, and that is most obviously identified actually in this image of Jesus and God and us in the image of a vine and the branches. So it says right off the bat that I am the true vine, Jesus says, and my Father is the gardener or the vine dresser. This word true vine, Jesus says twice in the passage. He says it again in verse 5, as I've said before, when Jesus says, "I am the vine," he's really saying outrightly, "I am God," referring to the I am statements of the other ones in the Gospels, but also how Moses was meeting God in the burning bush and, "Tell me your name," Moses asked, and God says, "I am that I am." When Jesus says, "I am the vine," he's saying, "I am God." And he's giving us this amazing picture, I think one we can really hold on to, as what is it like to be a person that is connected, that is in love, that is in relationship with Jesus and God. He says that the branches will be not only tended and pruned, but even removed. And those that bear no fruit will be cut off. And to ask the question, what is the key work in the vineyard? What's the key work? What's the key phrase? Well, it's the word abide. Abide is mentioned 8 times in 8 verses. Abiding is the key work. This passage from John takes the activity of abiding into the daylight, and it helps us see, wow, this is exactly what it means to be a believer, to hold on, to abide. And what's the meaning of abide? Well, in the Greek, it's meno, and it literally means someone who does not leave the realm or sphere in which he finds himself. So abiding, another word is remaining or continuing. It's staying right with a person through thick and thin. That is what abiding refers to. Abiding, as we can imagine in a vine and the branches and the grapes and everything, is being connected to our life source, connected to Jesus Christ, which is really, I feel, an obvious picture. Branches are attached to a tree, that are attached to the trunk, that are attached to the roots. And all these, this tree functions as a living organism to bring life-giving water and nutrients to the branches and to the leaves and to the fruit. That's the vine and the branches. Here in Arizona, we get these strong winds sometimes, don't we? And it's always a grief to see branches on the ground of these delicate but hardy trees. But it's usually the ones that fall off are the ones that are already dead or almost dying, aren't they? It's not usually the live branches that fall off, unless we get one of those snowstorms in February again when everything falls. But it's the dead ones that fall. And that is a really good image of life in the vine. You wouldn't look at the stick in your yard and go, you know what? I should stick this back on the tree and expect it to grow. It wouldn't work. And that's what this image is showing us. We're connected to Christ. And you know what that means? It also means that we're connected to each other. We're connected to each other. If all of us are connected to a vine, and he's the vine, then we're all connected to each other through Christ. It's a powerful image. So what is this connecting? What does this abiding mean? It's abiding is in Christ is the way we enjoy abundant life. Well, what is it? Well, first, the relationship of abiding means that we cannot go it alone in our spiritual lives. We're connected to each other. Let's read what Jesus says here in John 15. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So we can't go it alone. There's no like free-floating spirituality in Christianity. Jesus notes the impossible cannot happen, that if you're not connected, you can't bear fruit. That's really what he's saying right there. So we can't bear fruit unless we abide in Christ. And there's a lot of ways that we maybe get confused sometimes. We think, well, if we're just involved in church, that means we're abiding in Christ. Well, there's a lot of great things that we do at the church, but just being a part of the church and not developing your own prayer life, developing your devotions, developing your desire to connect to Christ himself can be a good way in the right direction, but it's not the whole deal. And the vine grower may even actually help us, you know, prune those things to help us do what's most effective for the kingdom. Every ministry in our church needs to know that they're connected to the vine, and I think they are. That they are connected to Christ and his mission, which we've defined at Shepherd of the Hills is to share the good news of Christ's love with all people. One beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. And I want to say a word right now to those that are watching from home today, and many of you have done that. Or will continue to do that in the summertime when you may go somewhere else for a time. But I love that we're able to reach out online to our community online, and that people can worship with us even if they can't be here in the building, they don't feel well, if they're homebound, if they're far away. And we have people watching today from Montana and Oregon and Minnesota and Iowa and back east in Pennsylvania. Lots of people watch us. And people that are from our church that are just home for a while. But if you're watching online, you're just like all of us here. We need to be connected to one another. Lynn is hosting the meeting, and even just saying hi or hey, I'm here, it really helps you feel like at least you're a part of what we're doing. So if you're watching online right now, just say hi. That's all you need to do. And also, if you have prayer requests or things that we can pray for you, or you need support in some ways, let us know that. Either email the church or do it through the chat box. But friends, here in the church, we are connected to each other through Christ. What's valued in America? As we are going to pray for America, our nation, this Thursday, you know, there's things that we love about our country, the freedoms we enjoy. But there's also a real sense of, as Americans, we are individualists. We are going to conquer the world, right? And the values of dependency and interrelatedness are not as highly valued as independence. And here Christ is giving us an image that really is contrary to that independent spirit. It's to be connected, not codependent with one another, but connected with each other. And this passage flies in the face of the attitudes that of anyone who thinks you can go it alone. These words give us a very different type of invitation to rely on God. Is the process an easy one? Hardly. The vine dresser says he will deal with branches in a manner that bring about their very formation and their growth. Pruning is not done by a hedge trimmer in a vineyard. It's not taking, you know, it's not mowing off whatever's sticking out. It's delicate. It's working to look at what branches are going to thrive and which ones need to be pruned back so that the fruit can be more fruitful. It's a delicate task. And also just hanging on, just abiding, is not just a free ride. Because it says that those who think abiding is a free ride, Jesus reminds them every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it even bear more fruit. So yes, it's good that we're bearing fruit, but God wants us to even show more of who he is as he works through us. If you ever clip back your shrubs or some branches, and you wondered, I remember one time there was this massive branch that was growing in front of our house, and I thought to myself, this is just getting out of hand. And I cut it way back to like this far. And my wife said, I think you just killed that tree. And I might have. I was a little worried about it. But within a year, more new branches grew, and all of a sudden, it became a much better-looking branch, tree, a shrub, and not such a scraggly looking one. That's what it's like to be pruned. Things may be cut down for a while, but then it gives the result of growing a greater luxuriant branches for a greater and unseen future good. Are there alternatives to this? Well, you can have overgrown bushes or things that do not produce fruit, but the key, as Jesus says, is abiding, because you can't go it alone. Abiding in Christ is the way we enjoy abundant life. Let's read together this next section. If I am the vine and you are the branches, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Abiding in the vine, as it says here, is so important. It prompts Jesus to even warn us that if you're not abiding, you can do nothing. Nothing. these string of verbs at the bottom that said what will happen to those who aren't abiding, they'll be gathered, thrown, and burned, really is a vivid image of what it means. There's really not like a little bit of Jesus. What Jesus is laying out here is an all or nothing proposal. Either abide or there are consequences. And that is a powerful thing, but also, when, like I said, it's a little bit of tough love here. The second thing that this shows us is that beyond the fact of reliance, abiding in Christ, the vine, means change. Now, if you're a good person at making plants grow, you're excited when new leaves grow or a flower comes out or there's a new something growing on that plant because it assures you that you're watering the plant, talking to it. Some people do that. And also, you know, giving it the nutrients that it needs, sunlight and that. It's beautiful to walk around the desert right now as we see the cactuses flowering in bright purple or white or green or pink. That is change, isn't it? It doesn't just stay the same. A growing plant changes. It grows. And fruit trees, cactuses bear flowers. Fruit trees bear fruit in season. As it says, the result of abiding is bearing fruit. Jesus says, even you will bear much fruit. Well, what does it mean to bear fruit? It's a lively metaphor, and it can be really just thought about a lot. First of all, for your own individual lives. What does it mean to bear fruit? Well, we have a great list of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians. That's certainly a great place to start as you see these fruit of the Spirit growing in you in measures, usually in equal measures. And those fruits are expressed in these concepts of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These things grow in us. That's bearing fruit. You can answer that question for yourself. What does it mean for you to be connected to Christ, to abide with Him? How has abiding with Christ changed you? And if the first point is true, that you can't go it alone, that we're connected to Christ and to one another, abiding is only not just about how we as an individuals change, but how the church is changing. And the church is not about you or about me. It's about Christ, and it always is. So we listen to Christ, and we listen to one another. Yet, abiding in Christ in the vine means change. You know, love does change us, doesn't it? If you get married, you become less selfish, hopefully. And you begin to think of your spouse, not just yourself. Even when you have children, a simple, hey, let's go spend the night at some friends, which is just basically throwing some personal items in a bag and a change of clothes, becomes a two-hour ordeal as you think about all the things you need for the baby, you know, the stroller and the, and this and baby. And it's not just this simple, grab your toothbrush and come on over. It's an ordeal. And you probably forget to bring your toothbrush because you're focused on the baby. But love, that's love. Love changes us. Abiding in Christ, the vine, means change. You know, I used to do whatever I wanted to do. But when I came to grow in my faith in Christ, I realized it's not what I want to do. I want to do what Christ wants. That's a very big change for a person to think about that it is about Jesus Christ, not about me. Christ changed my attitudes, my priorities. He changed the way that I decided to spend money differently. To give money away, that was Christ. That's not a natural human thing. To give something when you have it, naturally human would be to keep it or hoard it, not to share it. But Christ knows that he will, but to know that God cares for my needs, that's abiding in Christ. And it means that it's going to change us. Abiding in Christ establishes a communication element that doesn't exist outside of abiding. And that's here in verse 7. Let's read it together. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Jesus invites those who are intent on abiding with him to do this. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Have you thought about how amazing that is? What an amazing directive Jesus gives to us. That asking can only be done really when we're abiding. And since the involving part involves my words as well as what Christ wants, his invitation to abide is to pray in the spirit of abiding, of being connected, so that to do so with a full awareness of the surrounding environment of his word, and to do so that we can connect to God and people. There's really something unnerving about Jesus' words here. Think about it. What if our whole congregation prayed like this? What would happen? What would God do in us? Jesus' words shows us a readiness to respond to requests from the abiding ones in two ways. And that's here in verse 8. Let's read together. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So the first, result of abiding is it glorifies God, that the Father is glorified. When we are in the presence of God, it glorifies those who are wondering about God, what it means to have a relationship with God. For those who doubt that God exists, it serves as a confirmation of his activity because it glorifies him. And secondly, when we ask of him, it shows this amazing relationship between humans and God, and that is what it means to be a disciple. By asking, it proves that we're part of the process of discipling because you ask your Heavenly Father for the things that you need. And there's no reason not to ask because you have a relationship. Both those who wish to abide and those who witness the lives and actions of abiders, those who see us praying and abiding, that gives glory to God and shows us to be his disciples. Asking gives us confidence in our relationship with God. We're really created to be in relationship, aren't we? The beautiful people of Nicaragua that I've had a chance to be with three separate times. One time we were there and asked them the question as we were studying the Apostles' Creed. Who is God the Father to you? And before that, it's always difficult to teach with a translator because you say something and the translator says something, then someone says something, they translate it back. And so it's kind of a flat presentation up until that point. And when we asked them that question, they came alive. And in a beautiful way, when in Nicaragua, when you speak, you stand in the room so people know who's speaking. And they told story after story. I believe and I know that God, my Father, provides for me in all that I need. Someone else said, I know that God is my Father because he loves me and he shows us me his love. I know that God is my Father because he forgives me of my sin and doesn't leave me there. One woman shared the story of how God helped her overcome cancer. To hear such affection for God, such love for God among people with so little materially, was life-changing to me. Asking gives us confidence in our relationship with God. I heard an interview with the Christian songwriter Matt Mayer. We sing a lot of his songs here in church. He was talking about his song called Deliverer. And the chorus is, oh God, you're my deliverer, the one who carries us. But the bridge of the song, which he was talking about in this interview, goes like this. And now I'm like a child at night who never has to think of why we're free to love and live and die. And there's no need to justify. The sinner that's inside of me has lost all its control of me. My God, from the flood and from the fire, you brought me out. I'm alive. With the faith just like a child, I'm not afraid. I'm running wild. For everything that will be done, I am yours, and you are my deliverer. The one who carries us. God, you're my deliverer. In the interview, Matt Mir shared the idea that he had when he was writing this part of the song was when his children were small and they were crying at night in the crib. When a child cries in their crib, they are expectant that their mother or father will come, aren't they? They're not wondering. They're not going, well, half the time they come, half the time they don't. They come. And a secure child is born and is sustained when the father or mother meets their need. He said that's how he was imagining our relationship with God. Like a child crying in the night, and that surely God, our Father, would come and deliver us. We expect that. That is the faith of a child. That's asking. And it gives us the confidence in our relationship with God. Friends, abiding in Christ is the way we enjoy abundant life. And that's what every Sunday I invite you to keep coming into, to keep being a part of God working in you, working in us as a church, working among us, stretching us, changing us, growing us. That's what it means to be a Christian. And I'm glad to have this journey with you. Let us pray. Jesus, we are privileged to be like that child crying in the night that says, Lord, help us. And we are assured, because you have never failed us, that you will come. Lord, we have many needs as a nation, as individuals. Many of us are fighting a disease or a condition that is just so difficult right now. Lord, we thank you that we can abide with you. And by abiding, that means we are always connected. As the definition is, there's no reason for those who abide to sense in any way that you will not stay right there with them. So Lord, we thank you for your work. We thank you for your gift of this image that is truly something we can imagine and hold on to. Look at plants and trees around us, and every time we do, we can remember that we are holding on to you through thick and thin. And we thank you that you are the one who holds on to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.